All right, good. The House Committee on Revenue for Thursday, March 5th, 2009 will come to order. We have one item on our agenda this morning, the public hearing on House Bill 2071, and we'll open that. Aye.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, House Bill 2071 is related to document recording fees at the counties. First, you will find blanks in the bill, line 11 on page 1 and line 12 on page 2. And by the way, later on, House Bill 2844 fill in the blanks. As a way of background, ORS 205-130 lists documents that pertain to recording or filing duties of a county clerk. These documents are subject to recording or filing fees specified in ORS 205-323. Now, what this bill does is it increases fees for recording or filing certain documents with the county clerk, and it applies to documents recorded or filed on or after January 1st, 2010. Let me draw your attention to line 3 that says this bill requires approval of a 3/5 majority. I had a conversation with the Legislative Council, and their opinion is that this bill does not require a 3/5 majority because additional fees are used for counties. In fact, line 21 through 28 specify the accounts to which these fees should be credited. They are all for the benefit of the counties. In fact,
So this is not a bill for raising revenue for the state?
Nope.
Okay.
In fact, House Bill 2844, which was drawn up later, is devoid of 3/5 majority requirement. It's not part of the bill that we're hearing today, but just for your information.
So should we assume then that if these blanks get filled in by amendment, that line will disappear?
So, yes, Mr. Chair. So the conversation that I had with Legislative Council is that if we consider this bill and have work session, then I request amendment, and then they'll get rid of this 3/5 majority line.
Right. Well, of course, the bill can't be moved without an amendment because it has blank lines in it.
Right.
So that would take care of that. All right. Thank you. Any other questions for today? All right. Thank you. We'll hear from Gil Riddell and Annette Spickard when she arrives.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Gil Riddell, Association of Oregon Counties. I'll be accompanied eventually by Annette Spickard, who is a Lane County assessor and the president of the State Association of County Assessors and, at the same time, president of the State Association of County Tax Collectors. She's my expert witness and will be able to answer questions about, if you have any, about the operation of property tax administration at the county level. What we put before you, 2 days ago, you were briefed on the final report of the Task Force on Federal Forest Payments and County Services. What we put before you is recommendation number 42, which relates to investment in property tax administration. You'll notice in the report that number 42 is recommended to be adopted within 4 years. Consistent with current economic difficulties, and we're also mindful that you have passed a $15 recording fee on these kinds of documents already this session for low-income housing. Nevertheless, we put this concept on the table because you need to know that the local revenue engine is at risk, and this bill provides an established way to address the risk. The reason why it's important county property tax administration is important is because it provides critical funds for education, local services, and shared state-county services. In fact, in 07-08, that system raised $1.8 billion for K-12 and ESDs and another $165 million for community colleges. This represents 46% of all property taxes collected. The current funding mechanism, fee on documents for assessor processing work, originated in 1989 when a new state assessment and taxation funding program was adopted to address the disintegration of the property tax. The old levy system was suffering because of the recession in the early 80s and elimination of federal general revenue sharing. County governing bodies had to make some severe across-the-board cuts, and the result was that the assessor's offices were unable to keep up with current appraisals and assessments, and under the old levy system, that made a difference in terms of taxes paid by similar properties. There was deep horizontal inequities. To address that, the legislature in 89 adopted this funding mechanism. And I've attached, my first attachment to the materials is a brief history for your leisurely reading at some point of this program. It's undergone a couple of evolutions. But just to summarize, currently, the essence of it is the Department of Revenue supervises county A&T administration, and the County Assessment Function Funding Assistance Account, or CAFA, which is how it's referred to more frequently. CAFA provides some funds for county support. Qualifying counties, that is those counties that meet minimum statutory requirements for assessment and taxation administration, can share in CAFA based proportionally on the size of their A&T budgets, which are approved by the Department of Revenue. CAF is fed by three sources. One, a $9 per document assessor processing fee when filing these documents with the clerk. Two, a portion of interest in delinquent property taxes. And three, a state general fund payment of some $5 million per biennium. And I'll note that $550,000 of that was withdrawn to rebalance the 0709 budget.
What was that number?
$515,000 to help rebalance the state budget.
excuse me.
We were going to make the case that this is recovery of costs and therefore should be a simple majority. Need not dwell on that. Counties are in no position to backfill this function. Even though county share is a mere 19% of property taxes, in the current fiscal year, counties have budgets, A&T budgets approved at $91.5 million, and the CAFA share is a mere $18.6 million. So the balance of that is made up of locally raised general funds. County's financial situation is dire, as documented by the task force that you reviewed 2 days ago. County governing bodies are doing the best they can to keep up with A&T requirements, despite having to fund an array of state shared services, and that's the second attachment, our ubiquitous color table, I'm sure you've all seen. They're hampered by the structural handcuffs of Measure 50 and 5, and there is a ramp down, as you heard 2 days ago, and I have that bar chart you saw 2 days ago on the federal forest payment legislation from Congress. The gap between county revenues and expenditures will continue to grow. The last chart, you see this yawning gap over the next 10 years or so, county revenues and expenditures. This is a serious matter, and there's no single solution. Again, an emphasis that was made 2 days ago, that it requires a number of means to address it. County revenue engine has begun to sputter. In 07-08, Curry County, and then in 08-09, Coos County, were permitted to share in the CAFA funds under a special statutory dispensation, a process that permits them to go below minimum requirements for a temporary period. In 2004, DOR conducted a study on appropriate funding levels and found that at that time, that the funding permitted most but not all of the critical program requirements. And the two areas that were lacking were active appraisal and omitted property discovery. And those seemed those are the two most important means for there to be equity, fairness in the system under Measure 50 and acquiring new revenues that that otherwise would not be paid. I want to make one last point before Annette, if she's ready. Good. Comments. We understand that comprehensive revenue reform would be preferable, but we don't see any evidence that it will happen in time to save this sputtering function. So please do not let the absence of a comprehensive solution deter you from making a necessary incremental public investment. So with that, I'll let Annette comment, if the chair permits.
Thank you. Please. Welcome. Good morning. I understand you've had quite an adventure getting here today.
Yeah, there's an accident on the 5. Good morning, Chair Barnhart and members of the committee. My name is Annette Spickard. I'm the Lane County Assessor and President of the Assessors Association this year. And thank you for letting me speak to you today. Mr. Riddell had asked me if I would go through a couple of charts on the overall revenues and expenses of CAFA and what A&T operations are covered by these funds. And I do have a PowerPoint. Unfortunately, it's not on the computer, but I brought handouts, so I'm just going to speak from the slides on your handouts but I brought enough copies, so I think there should be some extras for back there. As Gil said, House Bill 2071 is a bill where we are asking for a cost recovery adjustment to the existing recording fee related to A&T that goes through the CAFA fund to support A&T operations at the counties. And on the second box there on the first page, there's a description of what those dollars are allowed to be used for. And right off the top, 10% of those revenues, which are made up of recording fees and delinquent interest, go to the Department of Revenue for their role in the state property tax system. You probably already know that they're responsible for appraising the large industrial properties and handling numerous activities that we do not do in the local level. The other 90% of the revenue is shared back to the counties for A&T expenditures on appraisal and inspections to ensure that all properties are correctly on the tax roll. They're allowed to be used for our database systems because we use computer-aided mass appraisal, which is similar in the fee appraisal world to what they call AVM modeling. We also use the money for mapping activities. Clearly, we have to keep the assessor's maps updated, and a lot of people rely on assessor map data for numerous things in the private sector and the real estate industry, and of course for our purposes to ensure correct taxation. We also are the collection agents for all of the local governments, schools, special districts in each county, and so we use the money for that. We also have staffing to manage all the property tax accounts in terms of ensuring Measure 5 and Measure 50 is correctly applied to each account, that we have all the ownership correct, and all of the numerous characteristics we're required to track on accounts. And then lastly, of course, we have the Board of Property Tax Appeals, which is the due process mechanism for local property owners to discuss whether they think our valuation is correct. And for any of these funds, the county must meet the DOR statutory minimum standards to be eligible to participate. And in this way, the Department of Revenue is able to ensure that counties are providing at least the bare minimum staff necessary to keep the A&T system functioning correctly. And they do have discussions with county commissioners regularly if they feel that the commissioner budget choices are putting the local A&T administration at risk, and that is something that Gil just alluded to with Curry and Coos County. Recently went through a series of discussions around that before they were eligible to continue to participate. The next chart on the bottom of the first page shows you what the split was between how much the county paid for the A&T system compared to how much the CAFA revenues supported it. And the original goal, I think you may have mentioned at the beginning when the program was created in 1989, was to aim for a 25% to 30% cost sharing between this fund and with counties. And so in the very first year of the implementation, it actually ended up only covering 22%. So the next slide is the split of the cost sharing in 1999-2000, which was the year that the legislature changed the recording fee. Originally, when CAFA was created, it was for a limited number of documents, and it was $20. And in 1999, under House Bill 2138, I believe it was changed to $9 and covered a broader range of documents. And so that shows you at that time that the cost sharing got much closer than to the 25% to 30% goal. However, revenues coming into the fund have been flat or declining, while expenses have been increasing. And you can see in our most recent year of the CAFA grant that our cost sharing has now dropped down to 19% from CAFA and 81% being paid for by the counties. And then I put a chart here from the first year that CAFA was created for all of these required minimum activities and how the costs broke out. So the system statewide for all of the counties, this does not include the DOR cost, was $52 million that first year. And you can see 44% was spent on appraisal efforts, and that was back when we had cyclical reappraisal and we're required to appraise 1/6 of the county every year. And then on the bottom, there's a 16% related to record keeping, 8% related to mapping. So that'll be important in a later slide. Well, the very next slide, actually, at the top of the third page. So now this year, the current statewide cost of A&T for all of the counties is $91.5 million. Again, that's the minimum required staffing per the DOR standards. And you can see that the shift has occurred in how we're allocating resources at the local level. We're now putting about 37% of the money or our expenses are appraisal related, and the record keeping is up to 24%. And you can see, if you are curious, I brought the detail for the various years, but you can see where that shift happened right after Measure 50, which makes sense because we stopped putting as much effort into reappraisal. That requirement went away, and we have spent much more time and effort around Measure 50 processing, I guess you could say, or analysis and the record keeping that's required for that. The next chart is how the CAFA revenues have changed over time from the year that the recording fee changed to the $9. The light color portion of the top of the bar is how much revenue came in from the recording fee in each year. The dark colored portion of the bar at the bottom is how much of the revenue was delinquent interest from property tax payments. And so you can see how that mix has fluctuated over the years, but that it has been declining. And the 2008 has an asterisk there for the 08-09 year because it's not completed, and that's based on the forecast from the economist at the Department of Revenue as to what they think those numbers will turn out to be by the end of June 09. The next chart shows you the total expenses for A&T operations at the county level that are not paid for by CAFA funds and how those have changed over time and have steadily been growing. It depends on the county as to what the specific issues are around cost increases, but generally we're a heavily labor-driven operation, not a lot of materials and services type of thing, so it's mainly cost of people to get the job done. And since 1999 up to this current budget, it's about a 50% increase in expense, and those are in millions there. The next chart at the top of page 4 is only the portion related to the record keeping and the mapping, because I believe that's the most closely related activity to the recording fee, because as documents are coming in and transactions are happening, we have to map all of those updates, all the new accounts. We have to set up the new accounts and do all of that work. So the record keeping and the mapping is the most directly related to the recording fee. And that over time has changed about 53%. And again, I think that's due to the shift in the Measure 50 aspect back in 1997, plus the direction the state is going with having all A&T assessor maps going into GIS format, and we just have a lot more accounts to take care of. The next chart there in the middle, the small bar, dark bar on the left of each year is the amount of the recording fee, which is the same number from a previous chart here, compared to the cost from above of the mapping and account administration expense. So you can see how that has been supporting it over time and declining. And in the 2008 year, I put the bar that's on the right side there is what the recording fee revenue would have looked like if we had had a cost recovery adjustment this year, just to give you a feel for the size of the adjustment. So basically what I'm trying to show here is that the recording fee for A&T is directly related between the state transactions and the work that we do, that we have had cost increases, that the recording fee has never been indexed or changed to account for that, and that given the state of funding that Mr. Riddell already mentioned to you, we felt that it was okay to let you know about the situation and to give you the opportunity to decide whether this was an issue of interest this year, this session, to the legislature or not. It was one of the recommendations out of the governor's task force. And additionally, if you just go by the actual data, it would seem to support a 50% or 53% cost adjustment. So that would be about $4.50 additional to the $9. And if the legislature were inclined to look at adjusting this fee, I would also suggest considering whether it would be appropriate to include an indexing factor in the statute, so that we don't have to keep coming back. But that's clearly your decision. That's a policy issue for you to consider. So thank you very much. I'm happy to answer questions, and I did bring the detail by year, by county per expenditures and how they break out in each type of county. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions? Representative Vance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Have the county commissions weighed in on this? Are they all behind us positively? Are there a bunch of county commissioners saying, no, please don't raise these costs?
Well, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Vance, it's AOC. It's an AOC supported bill.
Why don't you explain what that means in reference to Representative Vance's question?
Yeah, the Association of Counties is guided, the policy staff is guided by what we call a legislative committee, which is our board of directors, and then broadened. It represents represents all regions of the state and virtually all counties. I can't speak to individual commissioners in every county because I've not heard from them. But this was adopted as an item to support.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. I've heard from many county commissioners they don't want to raise any costs, and I just want to know if they've come to your organization and said, we want this raised. I understand your organization is an organization of the counties, but maybe a better way to put it is, you haven't heard anybody saying, don't raise it. Is that a correct statement?
Chair, Vice Chair, that's right. I've not heard.
Please go ahead.
And have you heard, has this word, is it out there so that later folks don't come to us and say, gee, we had no idea you were going to raise this?
Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, I certainly hope so. We had more than one meeting on this. We have presented the report and were involved in this report since the beginning of the task force, and I certainly hope the word is filtered to every commissioner. But one never knows for sure. I'm sorry.
That's it. Thank you.
Is that enough?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Thanks.
Other questions? County spend $90 million plus from their own general funds on various processes that the assessor tax collector performs every year. Is that right? Is that an annual number?
Yes, it is, but that would be the number this last year.
Okay.
Oh, actually, this current year,
the budget
approved for this
right.
current year for CAFA purposes.
Uh-huh. Okay. What would satisfy the counties to fill in this blank? What are you asking for?
Well, Mr. Chair, I think Annette put it very well. I think we can justify clearly a cost recovery, simple cost recovery at least 50%, $9. If you want to round it up, it would be $14 for the assessor processing fee. And if you didn't want to hear from us every other session, then an indexing feature would be helpful as well.
And that would get you to what? Would that get you to the CAFA goal?
Well,
or something
else? No, Mr. Chair. The CAFA, since there's three sources of funding for the CAFA,
yes.
and since two of them are variable, and now the third one, the $5 million general fund,
has become variable.
Annette was correct. The initial program, we had stated that the intention was 25% to 30% of the county A&T cost would be covered by CAFA, and it's certainly not now. So this is what we...
Maybe I'm particularly thick this morning, but I don't understand how those numbers connect with each other. Could you go through it again just very briefly? The increase that you're asking for, and that's connection with the policy that apparently the legislature tried to establish, 20 years ago?
Mr. Chair, we're not asking for all of it. This is an attempt to address one of the three funding sources to CAFA and to relate it to the functions that we do that are directly related to the documents that are filed that the assessors have to process, and we presented, I think, evidence that there's been a 53% cost increase to our cost to do this without corresponding increase at all from the fee.
Now I understand, and I appreciate it.
Sorry, I wasn't.
No, I think you probably said it before, but I wasn't. It just wasn't penetrating. And the other point, I guess, that I didn't really understand, which your answer just brought to me, is that every time a transaction is recorded that involves land, that results in a task to be performed by the assessor as an automatic kind of thing. I mean, every time that something gets recorded, the assessor has to evaluate whether that results in some change in the tax situation, and make some decision about whether that is mapping or a change of ownership or something else. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Chair Barnhart, that's correct. There's numerous things that we do with any kind of change, you know, the recording of a death certificate even, because we need to go through and update the ownership of the property. when people put things into trust or create LLCs or whatever, there's usually real property assets involved with a lot of those transactions. Earlier in this session, I talked to you a little bit about, for example, the small tract forest option program, and that's triggered by ownership changes, and there's a lot of those small programs and that don't necessarily mean that we're going to change the map, but that it triggers a notification requirement out of our office to the landowner. We also have where people have manufactured structures that were personal property and they record them as real property, so we need to shift that. So there's a number of things that happen besides just the recording of a subdivision plat or that type of work. But
right.
Yes, we, in Lane County, in 1 year, we processed about 19,000 transactions as a result of recordings. And in addition to just doing our regular work with sales confirmations and that type of thing.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I'm sure all the other committee members understood all of that, but it simply dawned on me that this isn't a related activity. This is the recording of a document isn't something that's somewhat related to your office. It is absolutely intimately related to the work you have to do, and that's something I hadn't really understood fully before. Thank you. That's helpful. Other questions for this panel? Thank you very much. We very much appreciate your coming up and the drive, and hopefully your drive home will be less adventurous than the one getting
fine.
Here has
you.
Been. I have three other people listed who asked to testify on this bill, so please come up. Tom Quintal, Erica, oh boy, is it Haglin, and Tim Martinez. Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. My name is Tom Quintal, and I'm a Salem resident, citizen, 68 years here in Oregon. I'm not sure how this may or may not affect our mining recording claims, and primarily the only interest I have right now is we, just for clarification, we pay and will pay all of the recording fees that are currently assessed or required to be paid by legislative mandate. That includes quitclaim deeds, notice of locations, amended notices, and on it goes. Also, the proof of labor, the required proof of labor for our affidavit is the issue that we have. Mm-hmm. Currently, and it has been in the past, the legislature with Oregon Mining Laws 517-210 requires that all mining claims be recorded annually or you lose your mineral property. It'd be like if you passed a law and said, if you don't do minimum maintenance on your home every year and file an affidavit, you would lose your home. A bigger extreme maybe, but depending on the value of a mining claim. So the issue we have really comes down to the 517-210 statute. And I guess I could go through and go through all the testimony. I know you probably would like to make this short and sweet, but recently House Bill 2436 was passed, and I guess it's on its way for the governor's signature to raise $19 million for the low-income housing folks. In our mind, that's a tax, but you know, it was recorded as a fee. So again, I remember very recent that we were paying like $5 to record our annual proof of labor. And it seems like what's going on is the assessors now are being used as revenue agents to collect money, not only for the Department of Revenue, but a lot of other sources. And as a citizen, not as just a small-scale miner, I'm really having a problem with that. I've talked to some of you, not maybe all of you here.
Mr. Quintel, it might please you to know that House Bill 2436 specifically exempts mining fees.
It does, and we had this same exemption that we're asking to have put in this bill.
I see. Thank you.
Yes, it is.
And that's the Dash 1 amendment that was just distributed.
Correct.
Thank you.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that was put in, and they, we explained our situation. They said, well, you folks, really, the legislature required you to do this annually, so we understand, and they put our amendment in there. And this is what we're asking for this bill.
Just so I understand it, the 517.210 requires an annual filing.
Yes.
And I assume that is because the state wants you to demonstrate that you continue to prove up your claim.
Well,
or is it for some other reason?
The Bureau of Land Management, who uses the LR 2000 system to
yes.
record all of our documentations, the ones I mentioned earlier, is already in place. So, in a sense, this is a duplicate service, but the state, when they made up their mining laws, kind of referenced a little bit the federal law, and in that, then they decided that we needed to record that document. The BLM doesn't require that recording. Absolutely does not.
And in that document, you have to demonstrate that you have done something on the claim.
Yes. In fact, they raised that fee this year. It's $125 per claim. It used to be $100, but it's gone up to $125.
Thank you. That answers the question I had. Please go ahead.
Okay. And so, let's see, I'll get down here, maybe I can get this. Currently, we will be paying $26 on average around the different counties throughout the state. So that doesn't exempt us from the recording fee, annual recording affidavit fee. We still pay that. All we're requesting is that we don't pay any additional fees being added to recording fees in this legislative session. House Bill 2844, I think they put in there another $6 they want. I'm not sure. I heard $9 here on this one. There's another bill out there, 2092. They want another additional dollar. So that one hasn't been heard, as I understand, yet. So there's a continual addition of these fees. And as miners, I belong to an association. I'm one of the locals that is able to get here and at least present our situation. We have 10 mining associations around Oregon. There's about 5,000 of us, and I'm in contact with those folks daily and give them a report on how you folks vote on mining issues. They're all around the state, from southern Oregon to eastern Oregon. Portland, in general, has probably the largest association in Portland. I think they have over 600 or so members. So there's a lot of interest, and I know that you don't want 5,000 miners in here glaring at you because some of those aren't too friendly. I'm sorry to say that, but they aren't. So anyway,
I'm glad we got one of the friendly ones today. Thank you very much. Are there questions for Mr. Quintel? I don't see any. We really appreciate your testimony this morning. This is an issue I didn't know anything about, and I appreciate learning about it.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Erica Hagedorn here today on behalf of the Housing Alliance. First of all, the Housing Alliance would like to thank you for your support of the document recording fee that was recently passed by both chambers, House Bill 2436, which increased the document recording fee on most real estate documents by $15 for a total of $41. You've heard this before, but the way that the Housing Alliance and the housing advocates and the industry folks, namely the bankers, home builders, and realtors, came to a historic agreement on the $15 document recording fee for affordable housing was over 18 months, wherein our group and the industry folks shared information on the need for affordable housing and balancing that with Oregonians' willingness and ability to pay additional document recording fees. In that negotiation, our parties agreed that $15 was the maximum limit that Oregonians were willing or able to pay in addition to what they were already paying for document recording fees. So it's with that that the Housing Alliance respectfully opposes any additional document recording fees this session. I apologize for being tardy. There's another document recording fee up down the hall in D. So we're running around a little bit today, but we wanted to stand here with our industry partners today and sort of relay the nature of our negotiations that occurred over 18 months. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Tim Martinez here on behalf of the Oregon Bankers Association. I would just echo what Erica said. We do believe that the 18 months we spent working on the proposal that you voted earlier last month, 2436, was a good compromise. We really commend this legislature. There hasn't been a lot done for affordable housing in the last few years. We were very much involved in the early 90s when the Housing Trust Fund was first passed and put into place. Unfortunately, that trust fund has not built up very much over the years. In fact, it was raided in the past. So we were very pleased to ultimately support 2436 as it moved through the process. Having said that, we were very adamant and very clear, and Erica made that point very well, that was what we thought was appropriate and was sustainable going forward. There have been several bills introduced. As Erica mentioned, there's a hearing down in agriculture. There's another bill down in rules. You know, there are several bills out there, and the question is, you know, when is enough? We certainly understand that the counties face a tough time with what's going on, not only in the economy, but what's happening to their timber payments. But we very respectfully suggest that this is not the right way to go, and that they and this body look at other options. At some point, you are going to interfere with folks that want to buy houses. And again, we commend you for your support of 2436. I can also tell you that the United Financial Lobby, which consists of the bankers, mortgage brokers, the credit unions, also are opposed to any other fee increases such as this beyond 2436. And I know there's some other folks who would like to testify, Mr. Chair, that were not able to get here prior to the start of the hearing.
Thank you. Questions for these two? At some point, Mr. Martinez, I may take you up on your offer to help us find another funding source.
Certainly, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And there were some others who wanted to be heard. I think they came forward. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Jim Marquis on behalf of the Oregon Mortgage Lenders Association, as well as the Oregon Collectors Association. Both organizations record a lot of documents. I think that it really needs to be made clear here what this is really about, I guess. There is a $5 fee for recording a document at a county clerk. And in addition to that, the clerk's office gets 5% of some of the, what I call, surcharges on that fee. And that amount of money is what covers the cost of recording the document and doing all of those things that the county clerks do in their endeavor of recording documents for people. These are mortgage documents and all kinds of other related documents. If you look through the statutes, not all of these surcharges are here before you in this bill. There are a number of surcharges that get added to that $5 because, as I like to say, this has become the tax du jour. There is a $10 fee that goes to the county surveyor for what is called the land corner preservation fee. And assumably, the surveyors use that money to make sure that land corners are in place, etc., although we have never been able to see actually where that money goes. There's a bill being heard down in Ag and Natural Resources Committee this morning that would eliminate the $10 cap on that fee and allow the counties to charge anything they wanted. Then there's this assessment and taxation fee, which is $10 currently, plus $1 for a statewide mapping program. And that has brought the total of recording a one-page document to $26, but each additional page is another $5. And now we have added, through the bill that you passed earlier this session, for low-income housing, a $15 surcharge, if you will, which we all were party to this agreement and worked on for throughout the interim, because we felt this was important enough that it needed to be done. But you've now taken the cost of recording one of these documents for somebody that comes into the county clerk to record it at $41, plus $5 for an additional page. In a normal mortgage transaction, you're not really looking at one document. Sometimes you're looking at three or four. So this really does start driving up the cost of for a lot of citizens out there. And the real policy consideration here is, and I know the counties have said that their assessment and taxation fee is directly related to the recording of the document, and Mr. Chair, you had an interchange about that. I would submit to you that the bulk of this assessment and taxation surcharge goes to simply assessing property, which is a really separate function of the county than the actual recording of the documents. We can argue about that, I guess, but as a policy consideration, at some point, how many county functions do you want to pay for out of surcharges on document recording fees? We just don't think it's appropriate. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Jana Jarvis representing the Oregon Association of Realtors. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you on this. I'm not sure what there is left to say. My partners in this negotiation have shared with you very clearly the amount of effort and time and trust that went into the negotiations that were conducted over the last 18 months with respect to the document recording fee increase that we recently spoke out in favor of before this committee. Our concern all along in those negotiations was adding incremental costs that continually would begin to prohibit individuals from being able to participate in home ownership opportunities. And our concern remains the same today. I had 600 of my members in the building, you may have noticed, yesterday. Hopefully they were well received by you, and hopefully they expressed to you their appreciation for support of House Bill 2436. But I must tell you that many of them have expressed to me privately their concerns that we have just opened the door. And so I would ask for you to prove them wrong on my behalf. I guess that's a personal favor I'm asking from you. But at the end of the day, we certainly have some concerns about all of the increases to the document recording fee that we're seeing proposed this particular legislative session. And I thank you again for your past support, but I would ask that you not support this particular proposal. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions for this panel? Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Jarvis, I was curious. I know that the cost of houses has decreased significantly over the last few months. Can you tell me about what the average cost of a house in Oregon is now?
Mr. Chair, Representative Riley, unfortunately for me, I don't have those statistics in front of me. I'd be happy to send them to you. They vary by region around the state, and I will follow up with your office after this. The cost in average, much of the in the Portland market, for example, the cost decrease has been about 9% recently. That's the most recent statistic.
9% over the what period of time?
If I recall correctly, over about the last 6 months.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions? Thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony this morning.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to be heard on House Bill 2071? I don't see anyone. With that, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2071. Committee, we've exhausted our agenda for this morning. Do you have something else? No?
No meeting on Friday.
We have a regular meeting tomorrow. Yes?
We do have a meeting.
We have a, what are we doing tomorrow, Paul? In the morning.
We have a special medical subtraction.
Oh, we're continuing the discussion on the special medical subtraction.
Oh.
And with that, committee is adjourned. See you tomorrow.
Oops. A couple of days ago, so no.